The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Posuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Mesheh, El Aaron Lemor Alehem. And Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron to say to Israel, Dabru El Bnei Yisrael Lemor, speak until to the sons of Israel to say, Zeisa Chaya Asher Teichlu Mikol HaBehem Asher Alo Oretz. This is the Chayo, this is the animals that you shall eat, which is on the land. And then the Torah goes into detail to explain which animal is kosher and which animal is not, both from the domesticated, from the wild animal, and from the domesticated animal. And the Torah continues and then tells us which of the species of the fish, of the sea life, are we allowed to eat and which we're not allowed to eat. And then the Torah continues with the ophos, the birds, the tamea, the tahoris and the tameos, those that are kosher and those that are non-kosher. And then the shrotzim, shrotzi oretz, these are creatures which are very small and creep along the earth, for example reptiles and insects. And this is one of the major sources that we have when it comes to what we refer to as macholos asures, the foods which are forbidden to us, or commonly known as kashrus and treifus. There are other macholos asures, other forbidden foods, which are not mentioned in this parsha but mentioned in other places. For example, there's the mitzvah of shechita, and an animal that's not shechted, that's not slaughtered properly, so then it's called the velo, or an animal that has some type of internal injury before the shechita is known as a treifa, or there's bosa v'cholov, that we are not allowed to cook milk and meat together, or gina hanosha, that is a nerve, a particular nerve which is found near the loins, or chelev and v'dam, certain fats of the animal and the blood of the animal which we're not allowed to eat, or for example chometz bepesach, chometz on Pesach. So these are some of the macholos asuris, the forbidden foods which we are not, the Torah commands us that we are not allowed to eat. In this whole parsha, this whole subject, what should be a person's outlook toward this? That the Torah in particular forbade this to Israel. These are not amongst the seven mitzvahs that were given to Klalis, to Bnei Nayach, the sons of Nayach. The only one that was given in the area of eating is Eiver Menachai, that they're not allowed to take something, a limb from an animal while he is still alive. So what should be the outlook of the Jew in this, towards this whole parsha, this whole subject? A number of years ago in Parsha Shemini, I gave a shir on this, and I'd like to repeat some of the principles that we said then and also add some. Now, it's very common amongst the public that when we view this, we look at this from a perspective that this is something which is bad for the person. This is a sakon, or this is a danger to eat, or it's like a poison. And it'll cause harm to the person, physical harm to the Jew, or it will be Megadol Tevara. It will develop a bad nature in him. And there is something wrong with all of these, the animals, the chayos, the wild game, that do not have the proper simonim signs, or the fish, or the birds, and so forth. And therefore, many have an outlook or an attitude towards this as one of disgust. See, something that's treif. Treifa is a particular description of one facet that refers to the animal that has an injury before the shechita that the Torah is disqualified. But in popular language, treifa refers to anything which is non-kosher. So much of the public has an attitude that something that is treif is repelling and repugnant and is disgusting, and they have an emotional attitude towards it. Or perhaps the proper attitude would be that it's not repugnant and it's not disgusting at all, and we shouldn't have such an attitude towards it. And this, that the Torah forbade it, this is something more. This that the Torah forbade it, this is something more of a spiritual, that one must have a spiritual or intellectual perspective towards. Actually, I recall an incident that when I was a young boy in the yeshiva, I went to spend Pesach with my older brother in New York, and he was spending Pesach by a Hasidic Rebbe. And at the Seder, actually there were a number of people at the Seder, and one was a great Talmud Chochem, very fine Talmud Chochem, from the Mir Yeshiva in Europe that had just recently come over. And at the Seder, I wanted to open up the discussion in some Divrei Torah. So I asked the question, what would happen if you would find some chometz tonight? And actually, this is a whole discussion in the Gemara, that if you find chometz on Pesach, what do you do with it? So the Talmud Chochem from Mir immediately grabbed a hold of the question and started to quote Gemaras on it. And the Hasid Sharebbe, he grabbed his heart, put his hand by his heart, and gave a gasp, and he said, "Heaven forbid." And another person there said, "See, this is the difference in perspective between a chosid and a litvak. One looks at it entirely from an intellectual perspective, and the other from an entirely emotional perspective." So I recall such an incident. But at any rate, what should be the Jew's outlook? Is this something that, since the Torah forbade it, for example, the chazir, the swine, or the camel, or the horse, the dog, or all of the fish in the sea, or the birds that are not kosher, so this is something that must become repugnant and mo'us, repelling to the Jew, and it is something which physically can harm the Jew and cause a wrong type of nature in him, or not? Now, in general, we cannot lump all of this into one kugel, into one category, even though much of the public does. because each Iser, each category represents an entirely different branch of Macholos Asuris, of forbidden foods. For example, we have the animals that the Torah forbade. Then we have, as I mentioned, Shechita. Now you can have a kosher animal, and everything is proper in it. There's no injury, and you shecht it. But the Shechita, which has to be on the two cords, the food pipe and the windpipe of the animal, it has to be the majority. And if you don't check the majority, but only half, then it's rendered nevela. And what is the difference? How much difference is there between half and the majority? And the Gemara says, kechut asar, the width of a hair. Now what can be the difference in the animal? When here it was a kosher animal, it was a completely healthy animal, except one you shechted a little over half, the width of a hair more than half, and the other one you shechted exactly half of the cord. Now can there be any difference in the animal when we're speaking that there is something wrong with this animal? And still one the Torah rendered kosher and the other the Torah rendered treif, the veilos. The fact is, the Medrash itself says, "Ma ich beslon ba Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Moses says, "Why did Hakadosh Baruch Hu care? What's the difference in an animal if it shechted half or reiv, a majority? Kechutz asar, it's only the width of the ear. At least to the species, we could say that there's something wrong with that species. The swine, the pig is not a good animal, but here we're talking on a kosher animal." So this is a different category altogether. Or for example, chelev and dam, this that we shouldn't eat blood or we shouldn't eat fats, the particular fats that the Torah didn't forbid because of reasons of repugnance. There, the Torah explicitly told us that we are not allowed to eat it because it goes on Gabi HaMizbeach, it goes on the altar. And every sacrifice, the blood and the fat was placed on the altar, and therefore we should not eat it. And then the Torah gave another reason by blood, ki adamu hanefesh, because the blood is the life. So there, it wasn't because of its grey usa, because it was something which was too low for us to eat, but to the contrary, because the Torah didn't want us to consume it because of its particular height and its value. So that's another category. Or for example, giranosha. Giranosha is the particular nerve in the loin which we don't eat. It's because of that we have a lot of problems in kashrus, because that loin and together with the fats that we're not allowed to eat are very difficult to remove. And because it's so difficult, it is common practice amongst the European Jewry or Ashkenazic Jewry not to remove it at all, but not to eat from those quarters of the animal at all. Now, there, the Torah didn't tell us we shouldn't eat it because something's wrong with it. We don't eat it because of a particular miracle that happened to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov fought with the Malach of Esav, the Sar Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, and he was wounded in that area, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu cured him, and it states, Al-Kain, La-Yechlu B'nei Yisrael es Giranosha, and therefore the B'nei Yisrael, as a remembrance of this, do not eat the Giranosha. So this is in a category by itself also. Or, for example, Chometz B'Pesach. Chometz is something which we eat the whole year. This that the Torah forbade it on Pesach. Not because physically, or in essence, essentially there is something wrong with it, but as a Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah was established this because of going out of Egypt. So you see, it's an ignorant attitude to lump all macholas asuras, everything that is forbidden, into one category and put one label on it. Because we could go on and on and on to show that each one has a different shadish, a different source, different characteristics, different perspectives. It is true that we do find, which we'll speak about a little later in this year, that there is one area that the Torah itself refers to as something which is repugnant and disgusting. And that's the Shorotzim. And it calls that Sheket, Al-Tishaktsu. That's at the end of the Parsha. And Tishaktsu means Shekotz Nafshoi Shel Odom Behem, that a person finds they are disgusting. But that's not necessarily the actual reason why the Torah forbade it, but that is true of this particular emotion. At any rate, you see that we cannot put this all into one category. So what should be the outlook? From the Torah in general, from the Torah and the sages, we find that just to the contrary. For example, Rashi and Parshas told us, Chof Vov Hei, on the Posuk, Ekev Asher Shoma Avraham Bekoli, Avraham, because Avraham listened to my voice, Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvesai Chukesai Visei Rosoiv, and he guarded all of my mishmati, my guardian, my laws, my mitzvahs, my statutes, and my Torahs. So here is mentioned chukais. The Torah is separated here into separate departments. And is mentioned chukais. Chukais means a statute. So Rashi says, Dvorim shayetzohore v'umasa elo meshivin aleihem. These are areas which the Yetzer Hara and the nations of the world challenge. Kigayin achilas chazir ulevishas shatnas. For example, the eating of the pig and the wearing of shatnas. Shatnas is wool and linen in a garment together. She'ein tam bedover, because there is no apparent reason for this. Alexeres hamelech v'chukesov alavodov. But these are decrees from the king and statutes on his servants. So what is Rashi telling us? There he takes achilas chazir, the eating of the swine, and he lumps it together with shatnas. Now, the wearing of wool and linen together is something that the reason is not apparent at all. The Torah did not reveal the reason to us. And this is known as a chok. A chok are laws which we would have never enacted on our own had the Torah not forbade them. And even after the Torah has forbade them, we do not understand them. There is no apparent reason. Although, the Sforim tell us that the Chachomim Gedolim, the great sages of the Torah, did penetrate their reasons to a degree. But it takes enormous wisdom in Torah and years of learning to just penetrate the reasons. But otherwise, we would not have enacted them, and even after they're enacted, they remain hooking. A chok is something that the king tells you the servant to do, and the servant doesn't understand it, but he does it at any rate. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give reward to Abraham, because not only did he listen to the mitzvahs and the mishpotim, those laws which we can understand, but even to those laws which we could not. And here he mentions levisha shatnas and the eating of the pig. Now, shatnas, we understand what Rashi means. But what about the eating of the pig? The eating of the pig is a simple answer. It's a dirty animal. It's a filthy animal. It's a diseased animal. And it's not for a Jew. Finished. Yeah. Now, he lumps this as chukim. Now, if this is lumped as chukim, so then this is the same which we're going to read this week. This week, besides being Parshas Shmini, we also read Parshas Pora. And in Parshas Chukas, Incidentally, when we refer to the pig, so he doesn't only mean the chazir, but he means the gomel, the camel, and the rabbit, and the horse, and so forth. In Parshas Chukas at the beginning, these are the statutes of the Torah which you shall, which Hashem has commanded. And it starts to tell us about the Pora Aduma. Pora Aduma is the red heifer, which when someone came into contact with a dead person, he was rendered tomei, impure. The only way he could purify himself was through the use of this red heifer. This was a heifer, a young cow, which was totally red. And it was shechted, slaughtered, and then it was burnt, and its ashes were taken and mixed together with a mayim chayim, with water that came from a spring. And then the person that became impure used this water that was sprinkled on him to help purify him. The sages say, what does it mean, zeis chukas? So Rashi says, lefisha asotn v'umaseilem meinin es yisrael lemor ma mitzvah zeis v'matam yeshbo. Because the Sotan and the nations of the world challenge Israel. And they say, what kind of mitzvah is this? What is its reason? There is no reason for this. And this mitzvah, even Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said, Omati Yechkamo, Yirecheke Mimeni. Shlomo HaMelech that understood perhaps more of the Torah than anyone else. He said this mitzvah, he couldn't penetrate its reason. He couldn't penetrate. The ficho kosa ba chuk gzeri malafana ein lachor reshus lahare achareo. Therefore, it's written chuka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is a gzera, this is a decree, my decree, and you have no permission to challenge me on it. Just do it. If you can understand it, good. If you can't, also good. So Rashi is lumping the eating of macholas asuris, the eating of an impure animal, in this category. How can he do such a thing? From here you see how far that we have strayed, see, from the Das HaTorah, from the perspective of the Torah. Just like a person when it comes to Pora Aduma, what would he say? He would shrug his shoulders. I don't know what the reason is. See? But the Torah said. Or just like when it would come to Levisha Shatnes, when it comes to wearing wool and linen together, I don't know. That must be the same perspective when it comes to the eating of the swine. This is what Rashi is telling us. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adav Chof Aleph. Gemara says, actually, my son, Reb Dovid, showed me this Gemara when we were discussing this. The Gemara says, this is on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Amar Reb Yitzchok, mipnei ma lein nisgalu taimei Torah. The Yitzchok says, why didn't the Torah reveal the reasons for the mitzvahs in all places? Sharei shtei mikros nisgalu taimon. Because in two places it explicitly revealed the reason. And nikoshel ben godol ha'olam. And one of the greats of the world was tripped up in this. Ksiv le'yarbe le'noshim. It states the mitzvahs ha'melech. A king has more mitzvahs than a regular Jew. And one of the particular mitzvahs he has is that he is not allowed to have too many wives. And there the Torah gave the reason. Asher le'yosel levovei. So they shouldn't turn his heart away. If an individual's heart is turned away is one thing, but the king is the libe shel ha'am. He's the heart of the nation. If your king becomes turned away, then there's problems. So it states lo yarbe le'noshim, you shouldn't have too many wives in order le'yosel levovei, that your heart shall not be turned. Omar Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, ani arbe le'osur. He said, I will have many wives and I'll make sure that my heart is not turned away. I don't have to worry. Uksiv, and it states, Vayhi leizikna shleima, noshov hitu es levovari. And in the days when Shleima was old, his wives turned him away from Hashem. That's one place. A second place, Leyab leishushim, states the king is not, a regular individual can have horses as many as he wants, but a king has a limit. Why? Shaleoshiv Esa'am leMitzrayim, in order not to bring the nation back to Egypt, because that's where the horses came from. Shleima said, I will have many horses and I will make sure not to return the nation to Egypt. And in the end it says, Vateitzei Markova miMitzrayim v'sheish, that he went and he turned them back. So, in these two places, the Torah revealed its intentions. And because of this, Shleima said, if this is your reason, I don't have to worry. And therefore he transgressed the mitzvahs, and he ended up in trouble from it. Therefore, the Torah did not reveal taimei hamitzvahs, the reasons of the mitzvahs. Now Rashi brings here, he says, where didn't the Torah reveal the reasons of the mitzvahs? Kigain loma nasra levishashatnes v'achilas chazer. For example, it didn't tell us why we shouldn't wear shatnes, and why we shouldn't eat the impure animals, why we shouldn't eat the swine or other such animals. What do you mean why? The reasons are apparent. See, here again we see that not so. Then we have further. The Teiris Kahanim. Now this Teiris Kahanim is a very, very, it's brought in Parshas Kedoshim, and it is a very important foundation towards Jewish attitude. The Teiris Kahanim states, the Maral brings it in Perek Ches of Teiris Yisrael, Layemar Odom I Efshir Bipsar Hazir I Efshir Bidove Pleni. A person should not say, I don't want to eat Hazir, I don't want to eat swine, I don't like it, but I don't want to eat this that the Torah forbade because I don't like it, because it's most, it's repugnant, it's disgusting. A person should not say that. Ela Efshir, he should say, I want to eat it. I want to eat chazir. It's very good. See, ham and eggs is good. I want to taste camel meat. I want to eat other things that the Torah forbade. Why not? It's good. They're delicacies. Umay eser sha'av ovi shebishamayim gozer alai. But what can I do? See, my Father in heaven has forbade this. This is what the Torah Kanim says. It says, a Jew must not approach these areas of Torah by saying, like the general, see, treif, see, a Jew should not approach these areas by saying, I don't want to eat chazir, I don't want to eat nevela, I don't want to eat treifa, see. I don't want to eat bosa v'cholov. I don't want to eat chometz the Pesach. Okay. I won't touch it for $1 million because it's treif. I don't want it. I can't stand it. That the Torah Kahanim says, Torah Kahanim is tanoim. See, that the Torah Kahanim says, no, that's not the proper attitude, because that's not why the Torah asked it. Some of this could be very, very good. Could be very good food. That's not why the Torah asked it. The proper Torah attitude is, a person should say, I would like to eat it. It's good. But the reason why I do not eat it is because my essa, what can I do? Ovi Shebishamayim, my father in heaven, Gozer Alai, he forbade it to us. Just like a king tells his servant, this you should eat, this you shouldn't eat, and the servant doesn't understand the reasons. So he does it because Kach Tziva. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Now, the Maral explains, and I believe also the Rambam writes this in Shemayna Prokim, this principle refers to the chukim. It refers to those mitzvahs that we do not have insights into. Like what we mentioned, where the Torah doesn't give us the reasons. But when it comes to mitzvahs, which are mishpotim, mishpotim are mitzvahs that we would have enacted, many of them even had the Torah not enacted them. And after the Torah enacted them, we certainly understand them very well. For example, the mitzvah of gezel, that you shouldn't steal, or eino, you shouldn't cheat someone in business, or you shouldn't harm someone with your words, or lashon hara, you shouldn't slander someone with stoker, or the positive mitzvahs that you should give stoker charity, or chesed, or you shouldn't be cruel. These are mitzvahs which we understand very well, and many of these mitzvahs people enact or accept upon themselves even independently of the Torah. Those mitzvahs, those a person is supposed to develop and train himself where he identifies with them. Why? Because he can identify with them. See? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to identify with them. When he told you to give tzedakah, it wasn't only as a robotic act, but he wanted you to identify with the need of the poor, and that you should be compassionate. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to damage someone else's property, or not to hurt someone, not to be cruel, it wasn't just a robotic act, but he wants you to identify that you should not be a cruel person. So there we're supposed to approach those mitzvahs by developing an identification with them and saying, cruelty I don't want to have anything to do with. Chesed, compassion, you should run to do it. See? Then not only this, there should be an intellectual identification, but an emotional identification with these mitzvahs also. But that's when it comes to the mishpotim. But when it comes to the chukim, how can there be an emotional identification with chukim when we haven't a clue as to what the chok is all about? We're going to develop an emotional identification with shatnas, a levishas klayim, when we don't know what levishas klayim, what the reason is. And any reason we'll give to it is like a drop of the ocean, of the Yamagodl, or Por Aduma. See, we'll develop an emotional identification with Por Aduma, the red heifer. What? When? That becomes a distortion, a total distortion of the mitzvah. So the same thing with the macholas asuras. All right, this perhaps is good for children, but to develop an emotional identification, how do we know why the Torah forbade the chazir, the swine, or the camel? How do we know what the difference is between the camel and the cow, or between the horse and the sheep? Even after we study zoology. Well, how do we know what the difference is? There are the Gemara brings that all of the birds in the world are kosher, with the exception of Chof Dalet. See, 24 species. There's only 24 species of birds in the world that are not kosher. But otherwise, the Gemara says the majority of the birds are kosher. Now, how do we know what the differences are? See? So to develop an emotional identification with this is something we have nothing, it's a total distortion. Where is our identification? Our identification is not with the chafetz, with the product, with the item itself. Our identification is with the metzada, with the one who has commanded. So therefore the Torah's Kohanim says, and that you must not say, that I don't want this bird I like, I'll eat it, and this bird I can't stand because it's treif. Now, both birds are excellent. Both birds made very good meat. But my asa, what can I do? This one, Ovi Shebeshamayim, my father in heaven said we can eat. And this one, Ovi Shebeshamayim, Gozer Alai, decreed that I cannot eat. Our identification when it comes to the chukim, to the statutes, must be not with the mitzvah, but with the mitzvah. See, with the one, Ovi Shebeshamayim. Well, when it comes to the mishpatim, there we can have an identification both with the mitzvah. With Ovi Shebeshamayim, we must do it because he has commanded us, but he has commanded us to be compassionate, to be good, not to be cruel, see, not to hurt others, where we can have an identification with it all. This is the foundation that the Torah's Kohanim is teaching us, and this is very important. And in general, because of this, we can understand the numerous chilukidinim, differences in halachos. Because if we approach a subject like this with this dogmatic attitude, that this is repugnant and this is acceptable, then we're going to have many, many contradictions. For example, we find that in numerous places the Torah was matir ishurim. It took foods which generally are forbidden and it permitted it. For example, in the desert, in the midbar, before we came into Eretz Yisrael, there the Gemara brings that they didn't have to shech. They could just kill the animal and eat it. Now, if eating an animal without shechita, this was after the Matan Torah, after the giving of the Torah, if eating an animal without shechita is nevela, which is something which is totally unacceptable, so it's totally repugnant to us, so how did it become permissible? Another exception states, Boti Meleim Kol Tuv, Omer Rabbi Yumiya, Omer Av, Kosli de Chaziri, Hoyusulahem, a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin. It states that when they came into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you the houses, you will capture houses that will become yours, and Malayim Kol Tuv, everything in the houses will become yours. You can have everything. So from here we learn out everything that was there could become theirs. Afilu Kosli Dechazeri, even hides, even hams. They had there, they were pickling hams of chazir, of swine, that also belonged to Israel, and they could eat it. And that was called kol tuv, everything that was good in the houses. It was a special dispensation. Or, we find, for example, an animal that you shecht, and she has an embryo, and that embryo lives, doesn't need shechita. You can eat it without shechita. Or, for example, we find in the Beis Hamikdash, if you would take a bird and you would shecht it, not from the front of its neck, but from the back of its neck, it would become nevela. But in the Beis Hamikdash, whenever they made the sacrifices, they never shechted the birds from the front of the neck, but rather the Kain would puncture the cords with his fingernail from the back of the neck, which generally is an avela. Or, for example, we have the laws of Beetle Barai, Beetle Bashishi, that when you have Iser, something which is forbidden, and it's mixed up with something which is permitted, there are many times when you're allowed to eat all of it, even though for sure you're eating that what is forbidden also. These are all long discussions, many halachas in the Gemara. Or, for example, Ktanim, when it comes to children, The Gemara says, actually we learned it out from this parsha, lo ye ochlu, that we are not allowed to feed to children devorim tameim, something which is not kosher. Not allowed to feed to children. This is what the Torah tells us. But what happens if a child takes it by himself? So then the Gemara, then the Mina Torah, there's nothing wrong with it, because he is not obligated in mitzvah. The Gemara says the father has to, if the child is old enough where he can understand what he's doing, then the father has to stop him because of chinuch, to train him and educate him in mitzvahs. But that's only midrabonim. That's not Mina Torah. That's a mitzvah from the Rabbonim. Whether others do, this is a question in the Gemara. So what do we see? Either child is eating something which is going to damage him, or even further, if we would say that there is something wrong and damaging with these foods, so why did the Torah permit it to a goy, to a non-Jew? The halacha is that something which is dangerous to eat, say, something which is dangerous to eat, then you're not allowed to eat it because of sakona, and even a goy, a non-Jew, also is not allowed to eat it. So why did the Torah make the distinction here? That's why, from the purely dogmatic viewpoint, we will run into many difficulties to understand many sections of the law in referring to these subjects. The explanation and what the perspective should be, the Maral explains in Tferes Yisrael, in Periches. He says, not as we mentioned. Because if we say that there's something wrong physically with these animals, or they are not good for the person, he says, then what are we making of the Sefer Torah? Now this also is a very, very important principle. We are making from the Sefer Torah a Sefer Refuah, a book of cures, or a Sefer Teva, or a book of understanding the nature, or a Sefer Skulais, or a book of charms. A Sefer Refuah, a book of Refuah, that's a medical book, a medical manual. And on this, our Chazal tell us, it's Osir Lasois Sefer Torah Kesefer Refuah. Cholila, we are not allowed to make a Sefer Torah into a book, into a medical manual. There might be great medical wisdom in the Torah, but that's not what the Torah is. We are not allowed to make the Sefer Torah into a Sefer HaTeva. Sefer HaTeva would mean a book of science. Yes, there's great scientific wealth in the Torah, but that's not what the Torah is. And we are not allowed to make the Sefer Torah into a Sefer of Skulos. Skulos is charms. Medical books, these were given to the nations also. Scientific books, these were also given to the nations. Books of charms, the nations have plenty. What's a book of charm? Well, you have instructions that if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, this will happen. What's the difference between a book of charms and a book of science or a book of medicine? So that our rabbis teach us, because a book of medicine or science have scientific reasons of cause and effect, while a book of charms have no scientific or logical reasons of cause and effects. And there are plenty such books, that you do this and this, and it'll have such an effect. By us we say Asher Bochar Bono Mikolo Amin Venosan Lono Esterosa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, which he gave to none of the other nations. And it states, He kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim. He says, people who look at Torah like that is reducing the Torah to an entity of non-wisdom. While the Torah testifies, kihichach kihich chochmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim, that it is the greatest wisdom of all of the wisdom of the world. So to have perspectives like that is a great prostitution of the level of the Torah. You are reducing the Torah. The Rambam also writes this in a place. You are reducing the Torah, Eisin es haTorah, the Sefer Refuah, to a mere medical book, or a mere book of science, or a book of charms. Eat this, it'll be good for you. Don't eat that, it won't be good for you. And meanwhile, Torah is the chochmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim. It is your greatest wisdom and your greatest understanding amongst all of the nations of the world. Anything that's written in the Torah has to go with an enormous wisdom and an enormous understanding. If we don't understand it, that does not mean it is charms. That means that the wisdom is so great that we cannot penetrate it. And this was given to Israel and no other nation. Like we say, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ha'amim, that he chose us from all of the nations, V'nosan Lono Esterosa, and he gave us his Torah. So that's why that perspective has to be rejected. What is the proper outlook? The proper outlook is that the Torah is permitting things and forbidding things on the basis of the spiritual height. That just like a person needs food for his physical being, he also needs food for his spiritual being. So the Torah tells us this food is good for the Jew, who is made up of this synthesis of physical and spiritual, and this food is not good for the Jew according to his physical and spiritual height. But it's not anything that we can read in it at a simple level from a physical or a scientific or a so-called charms level. And this is what the Medrash Tanhuma brings. Medrash Tanhuma brings, Rashi brings part of it at the beginning of this parsha, where it states, Zeisachayo asher teichlu. Melamed Shoya, so Rashi brings Loshen Chayim. Seis Achayo, it's referring to it. Here the Torah called it Achayo because it says you'll have life from this. What does it mean you'll have life? Lefish Yisrael Dvukim B'mokim. Because Klal Yisrael cleaves to Hashem. V'ruin Li'ais Chayim. And therefore, they deserve a different type of life. Therefore he separated them from certain impurities and he decreed on them mitzvahs. And to the nations of the world, he didn't forbid. The Medrash Tanhuma brings it would be like someone who comes to the doctor. And the doctor sees that this person is sick, but he's a young person and he's going to have to live for a long time yet. So he says, you have a long life ahead of you. I must give you food that will enable you to live a long time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Israel, he told them that you have a long life ahead of you. You live in this world and you live in the next world. And not only do you have a long life ahead of you, but you have a high quality of life. You don't live a level of an animal. And you don't even live the level of the nations of the world. Your level is altogether different. And everyone must have sustenance in accordance to their particular life. It states, Atem devukim b'Hashem, v'atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. You are close to Hashem, your quality and your level of life is different. And therefore you need a different sustenance. For example, if you were growing butterflies in a cage, so what would you feed them? So you'd feed them some flowers, some grass. It's sufficient for their life. If you were growing flowers, you'd feed them something else. If you were growing rabbits, you'd feed them something else. So is it with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has to have a high quality of life. We're not referring necessarily physically, only physically, but we're referring spiritually. And a type of life that will endure in them in this world and the next world. Therefore, they need a different sustenance. Lefichach gozar v'hibdilon. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zeis achaya asher teichlu. This is what you shall eat. And he called it chaya because it will bring you this life. And this you shouldn't eat. But this is only in accordance to the great wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, that these species, in accordance to the halachas of the Torah, is designed for this quality of life, and the other species not. But at the floor level, at the ground level, there's no difference between them. Scientists can make all of the analysis they want. And the nutrition at the ground level, they're good food, very good food. If they weren't good food, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have also forbade the non-Jew to eat them. And that's why many times we find that if it's under a particular situation, it becomes permissible. You shecht. We say something that's not shechted kosher is nevela. And nevela is ma'us. Nevela is fe. It is disgusting. So then you have what the Medrash says, Ma'ich Peslon, what's the difference if you shechted 50% of the cord or 50% and a minute micro percent more? One is kosher, one is treif. What's the difference in the animal? Because the Sheirish, the source, is not coming from science. Scientifically it's the same, exactly the same. And the source is not coming from medicine, and the source is not coming from charms. The source is coming from the Olam Helion, from the higher worlds. And that's something we cannot penetrate. Therefore, what kind of mockery is it that a person comes along like the Teres Kanim says and says, this I can't stand, I don't want to eat it, it's not good. What is he speaking about? No, what must he say? He must say, Efshi, the Torah Kanim says. Efshi, I want it. I'd like it very much. Aval ma esa. But what can I do? Ovisha b'shamayim gozer alai. There's no identification with the article itself. The identification is with the melech. That's why the example given is like a king that tells, Rashi brings, it's like a melech shegozar al avodov. a king decrees to a servant, and the servant says, I can't understand why the king said do this and not do that. I can't understand it at all, but I must do it. Why is he doing it? What is his identification? His identification in that case can only be together with the king and not with the article. This is the explanation of this. This incidentally does not only apply to this Nevelis and Trefis, this applies to the entire Torah. Where it comes to Chukim, see, where it comes to statutes which we cannot penetrate. Now, I'd like to go to one further point. And that is, we do, however, find, as I mentioned before, excuse me 1 minute, that there is an area in our Sedra which the Torah reveals, mentions that the human emotion of repugnance and disgust, and that's at the end of the Sedra. The end of the Sedra, it starts to speak of shrotzim. Your shrotzim, these are your creeping animals, your reptiles, the rodents, see, the snakes, the lizards, and your insects. And there the Torah tells us, Al tishak tishaksu esnafshiseichem b'chol hasheretz hasheretz. Do not be meshakets your nafshiseichem. Now the word tishaksu comes from the word disgust. Shekotz nafshe behem. A person is naturally repelled by these types of creatures. V'leisetambu behem. And you shall not make yourself impure with them. V'nit meisem bom. And become impure. Ki ani Hashem elakeichem v'iskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kodesh oni. I am the Lord your God. I have sanctified you, and you shall sanctify yourself, because I am Kodesh. And therefore do not make yourself impure with all of these shrotzim which crawl on the land. Then it states, Ki ani Hashem amal eschem eretz Mitzrayim, because I am the Lord your God that has taken you up out of Egypt, liyos lochem lelekim, to be your God, and you shall be sanctified because I am sanctified. The Gemara brings in Bamatzia Perekezu Neshech Tav Tzamech Aleph Amad Beis, Mother says, why does it say, all over it says, Ani Hashem Asher Etzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt. Here it says, Ani Hashem Hamale Eschem. I am the Lord your God who has lifted you up out of Egypt. All the time it says, Asher Etzesi has taken you out. Here it says, Hamale has lifted you up out of Egypt. The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara answers, just 1 second. Maishno hocho Amale, the cause of Rachmona, Amalele Kretana Beir Bishmul, the Tana Beir Bishmul, Amakorish Borchu, Ilmole, Lohelesi, Esisomi Mitzrayim, Elebishmul Doveze, Shein Metamin Bishrotzim Dayo. Korish Borchu says that if I lifted you out of Egypt only for this mitzvah, that you don't, to command you not to eat the shrotzim, that would have been sufficient. So he asked, why does Hashem say that had I taken you out, lifted you out of Egypt, only for this mitzvah, that you shouldn't contaminate yourself with the shrotzim, see, with the lizards and the insects and the other creatures that are kotz nafshisehem, that are disgusting to a person? Why would that be sufficient? Is their reward, the keeping of that mitzvah, is that reward more than the mitzvah of ribis, that you're not allowed to lend with interest, or tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, or mishkalis, or the mitzvah of honest weights and measures? So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasize that? The keeping of honest weights and measures could be even a more important mitzvah, more severe. The reward could be more. And the same with lending with interest, and the same with tzitzis. So why did the Torah mention this itself? So the Gemara says, "Afal gav de le'nofish yigrayot fei mi'isi le'michlinho." Even though shrotzim has no greater reward than the others, but nevertheless, it's mi'isi le'michlinho. They are disgusting to eat, and since they're disgusting to eat, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular gave this special mention. Now what does it mean? Since they are disgusting to eat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular gave this special mention. It doesn't mean that he forbade the eating of the shrotzim because they are disgusting to eat. He forbade the eating of the shrotzim for his reasons, like we mentioned. But since they are me'isi, but since they are repugnant and disgusting to a person, therefore they have particular significance to Hashem, and in particular relationship to Hama'alcho that He has brought us out of Egypt. So Rashi explains, Shehein mu'ulim v'no'im. Klal Yisrael are mu'ulim v'no'im. Klal Yisrael are very beautiful and handsome. Ve'einon nim'osin b'shkotzim alolu. And therefore, they are totally contrary to the practice of eating something which is so disgusting as the shrotzim. Lo'hoch iksiv loshen iloi, shemay le'gedole hi etzlom. And therefore it states, loshen iloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted you out of Egypt, and He wanted to separate you from Egypt, and He wanted to give you a high level, a higher level than Egypt. This is what the word means, mala. See, He wanted to elevate you. All the time it states He took you out of Egypt. Here it states He elevated you, because Egypt was a nation, represented the nations which were very low and disgusting. Not only did they do things which they should not have, but they even did things which are contrary to human nature. See, there are certain things which man does not do because he was commanded by the Almighty. Be it the 613 mitzvahs given to Israel or the 7 mitzvahs given to the nations. There are certain things which man does not do because maybe through wisdom he understands you shouldn't do this. But there's another area which man does not do because it's contrary to human nature. And that is what is disgusting, see, and repugnant. Now, Egypt, they were a nation that were very low, and they committed all types of abominations. Not only those abominations which wisdom dictates you shouldn't do, but even the nature that was given to man dictates you shouldn't do. And Klal Yisrael are just the opposite. Not only do they have the wisdom to understand what is right and wrong, but they also were given a very beautiful nature. Atem ulim v'noyim, your ways are beautiful. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular, didn't want Klal Yisrael to be involved not only in general averus, but in particular in those disgusting averus. So therefore, he said, by Shrotzin in particular, which is something which is contrary to the human nature of man, and especially the nature of Yisrael, Hama'alcho, I have elevated you. And for this alone, it was worthwhile elevating you up from Egypt. The Maral in his Agodas Hashas, and this Gemara, he brings he says as follows. Israel befeels sheyesh lem guf kodesh v'tor nivdal min apchisus v'hatiuf u'bishvil zeh ha'yeroi lahalei seysom mitzrayim asher heim metu'obim u'mishukotzim ba'arais v'in roi sheyesh imohem. Israel were given by nature a very beautiful and high nature, and the Egyptians were just to the contrary. The Egyptians had sunk into all of the disgusting and repugnant abominations. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy that Yisrael were mixed up with them. And therefore, Roi Lahalei Seisom Mishom, he elevated them. In particular, when it came, like he said, if it would be for this alone, it would be sufficient. A little further insight into this is that the Gemara brings in Masechta Menachos. It states that when Gimel Dvorim Niskash of Meisha, there were three things that Meisha had difficulty understanding when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him, he had to show him himself. What were the three? So one was the menorah. He couldn't understand the menorah that Hashem wanted him to build. So eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him a menorah of fire. Shrotzim. When it came to this mitzvah of Shrotzim, he had difficulty understanding it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him all of the Shrotzim. And then it says HaKadosh, the Chidush HaKadosh, the new moon. Now, we do not have time to go into the explanation of all of this. Actually, Yesh Eimanim, some said Shchit also. But the Maral Miri brings out that the menorah he couldn't understand because of its height. See, the menorah was very, very beyond this world. And therefore, Meisha had difficulty understanding. The Shrotzim were to the contrary. See, why? That he couldn't perceive because of the lowliness. Why? Because man is the center of the universe. Why was the universe created? Because of man. And therefore the whole universe goes around man. And the whole universe is because of man. Chayavodim Leima Sha Hakol Nivra Bishvili. Person is obligated to say that everything is created for me. So he is the center of life. Animals are close to man. He works with them. He uses them. They're his servants. He eats them. But as you go down the line of the nature, you find that the Shrotzim, and these are your little reptiles or insects, they are very far from man. So they're way to the extremity of the creation. And Moshe's prophecy could prophesize the creation from the central point, but when it came to the extremities, he couldn't. Therefore, the menorah he had difficulty understanding, because that was lamala, that was beyond the creation. The menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, while the shrotzim was, that was to the other extreme. Now, so this is a new dimension we're saying now. We're saying that besides all of the other machalos, but this is not mentioned by the chazir or other such animals. Besides all of the other dimensions we mentioned, there's another now particular dimension, and that is things that by nature are ma'us to people. See? The shrotzim, this is not disgusting to the person because the Torah offered it. This is disgusting to most people, even had the Torah not decreed. So here we see something else, and that is that a Jew, this is not related to what we said in the first part of this year, but a Jew has to have particular zehirus, particular caution when it comes to becoming involved in averus, which by nature are contrary to him. Unfortunately, in our generation, we are seeing a tremendous deterioration in this in the world. There were always sophisticated averus, averus which wisdom decreed is not right, and people did them. But in our generation, we are seeing a great and a rapid growth of averus, transgressions, which the Torah would consider as abominations, something which are kots nafshiseya me'ishi, something which are totally contrary to human nature and repugnant. For example, uxorious cruelty. Cruelty. Everybody, every human being is against cruelty. It's contrary to cruelty. Yet you see a tremendous growth of cruelty in the world. Not only in war, but violence. And what makes it worse, for example, it's often now, makes international news of types of murders or other such obsessions in the most cruel manner. But what is even worse, this has become entertainment for the person, the movies and the television. There are many social scientists today who are doing extensive writing on this, of the rise of the violence and the explicitness of cruelty, which are shown on television and movies and are making millions of dollars at the box office. This means people are enjoying it. This is an abnormality. See, when we speak of something which is going contrary to the nature, this is an abnormality. When abnormalities can attract millions of dollars, what millions? Billions of dollars at the box office. This is a great danger sign. This is a sign of an abnormal generation. And there are many such instances. Violence, damages, murder, sex. There was always the averus of normal sex. Now, today we're in a generation what has grown, not only grown, but you have law societies that are fighting for its acceptance of all types of abnormal sex. In other words, that goes contrary to the nature of man. Now, anything that goes contrary to the nature of man means that by nature it's repugnant to him. See, why does he squelch up when he sees a snake, or if he sees, or why doesn't he want to eat a lizard, or if he sees an insect with 100 legs, because this is contrary to his nature. So he squelches up. There are norms in man. Now this was Mitzrayim, that was Egypt. And that's why it states by Egypt with all types of kishuf, sorcery. You notice it comes together with cults many times. With cults and with sorcery. And devil worshipping. And they were Axorian. They were cruel. They were murderers. They tortured. And all types of abnormal sexual practices and deviations. Right, that was the Egypt of old. But it exists today. And not only does it exist today, it's selling. It's selling, it's a market, it's an enormous market of billions and billions of dollars. Nevel Peh, something else. Nevel Peh, filth in language. It's something which is contrary to the nature of the person. Today it's become rampant. It's become public. Even by women. So this is a different perspective. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Hamalcho eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I want to elevate you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. It states, he says, don't eat al tishakshu es nafshiseichem b'chol asheretz asheretz. Don't contaminate yourselves with these shrotzim that are so repulsive. Ki ani Hashem amal eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Because I have lifted you up out of Egypt. And the Gemara says, did he lift us up out of Egypt for the mitzvah shrotzim? He elevated us out of Egypt for all of the mitzvahs. Why the mitzvah shrotzim? So the Gemara answers, this mitzvah alone would have been sufficient for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get us out of Egypt. So the Gemara asks, v'chinofish igrayu, is the mitzvah of shrotzim more rewardable than other mitzvahs in the Torah? For example, that you shouldn't lend with ribis, with interest, or mitzvah tzitzis, or for example, what was the other one mentioned there? What? Weights and measures. Okay. So the Gemara answers, those mitzvahs, tzitzis, whether you wear tzitzis or not, or whether you have honest weights or not honest weights and measures, or ribis, whether you lend with interest, those are severe averas, very severe. It could be more severe than shrotzim, but there's a distinction. That's what is known as a sophisticated avera, a white collar crime. Say, that's a sophisticated avera. That's not going against the human nature of man. To the contrary, human nature wants to lend money with interest. Why not? He can make some extra money. Right? Human nature wants to take from someone else. So there, you have to conquer human nature. You have to go against your nature, and you have to conquer the Yetzer Hara. But Shrotzim and its kind has something else in it. And that is, the Aveira itself is contrary to the human nature. There's a Yetzer Hara. There's a Yetzer Hara to each Shrotzim. So the Gemara says, the Torah says, by Mishkev Zohar, by homosexuality. There's a Yetzer Hara. There's not a Yetzer Hara when it comes to it. So what is it? It's contrary to human nature. So it's a deviation. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand. And therefore he said, to get Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, for this alone it's sufficient. Because Atem Noim, because you have a beautiful nature. Atem Noim U'Me'ulim, and you have an elevated nature. This is what in Yiddish many times we say, das passnet für euch. Das passnet für a Yid. This is not for a Jew. Now, the tragedy, the calamity is not that we are living in a generation where we see a tremendous yerida, a tremendous fallenness. And the calamity is that it takes many Jews with them. This is something that we have to be very careful, and this is what the mitzvah of Shrotzim in particular is coming through. So this evening we spoke on two facets. One is in the Macholas Asuras in general. What should be the outlook of the Jew when it comes to forbidden foods, those which are forbidden, those which are permissible, which are basically not contrary to the nature of the person? Okay. Should he act as if they are contrary to his nature, and they are amos, and they are repugnant, and this is why he shouldn't eat them? Or to the contrary, they're good, they're very good, they're good meats, and the world eats them, and I'd like to eat them also, except my answer, what can I do? The king has decreed we should. That was the first section. And then we spoke about another branch of Aveira, which is not something that the person has a strong desire for, let it be intellectual or emotional or physical, and he has to conquer that desire in order not to transgress. But to the contrary, is kotz nafshei behem. It's contrary to his nature. This Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular, does not want Klal Yisrael to impurify themselves with. And this is the branch of Shrotzim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.